Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-5, all-wheel drive, just $229 a month. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com or at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 888-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN S05607588. MSRP 3585. Ends 131.25.
Okay, business leaders. Are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just... Excuse me. Hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and we are fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our friend, Mr. David Aldridge from The Athletic. DA, what's up, dude? How are you?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
We're chilling, Dave.
It's the time
of the year where we don't have a lot to talk about. Yeah. In this area, say it like that.
We've been looking at college drafts for 3 months usually, right?
Feels great not to be. DA, I want to start with perhaps the most underreported story coming out of Philadelphia on Sunday. That you got stuck in the press area and couldn't get out of the building.
Dude. David Harrison saved me, man.
Wait. He got stuck in that press area?
Bro, getting out of stadiums at night is always really difficult. Detroit, I kind of got stuck for a little while, and DA got stuck.
So, B. Mitch, when you go into the link, you go into they got all these high gates all around the stadium, right?
Yeah.
Which I understand, right? But the problem is this gate is enclosed. So it's open before the game. And you walk in and you go through the little door entranceway and you go through the metal detectors and then you're in the stadium and you go up to the press room. But after the game, B. Mitch, they lock the gates.
Oh, wow.
And then I come out through the press entrance and the door's locked behind you.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, so I come out, the door locks behind me. I go to the gate where I came in. The gate is closed and is locked. So now I can't get through the gate, and the door behind me is locked. I'm stuck. I'm in a pen like a giraffe.
You got to go back to being a kid. You got to climb that gate, Dave.
Dude, I was looking at it. I had my bag with me. I could probably do this by myself, but I don't know how I can do this with a bag on my shoulder. You know what I mean? And then thank God. That there was an open door. There was another entranceway next door to this pen, and David Harrison, who covers the team and has been there all year, was walking out and was like, "Dave, can you help me?
You go open, throw me a life raft."
Door. And so he went back in and opened the press door again, and I was able to get back out and go out through the other entranceway. So shout out to David Harrison, man. I might still be there, guys.
I love it.
I'm going to have to give you Big Dom's number. Call him next time.
Yeah, right.
I love it, man. All right, now that we've gotten the most underreported story from Philadelphia out of the way, let's get down to business. We're talking with our friend David Aldridge from The Athletic on the Rude Guest Hotline. DA, how do you best summarize what was just an incredible year for Washington?
I mean, it was just like, it's like, you know, it's like a kid who's a genius and they get skipped a couple of grades. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, if you're, you know, hear about the 15-year-old kid that's at Harvard. You know what I mean?
Lucky Hauser.
Like, it's like that. You know, it was like that because you're not expecting that, right? Nobody's expecting that. Like, y'all, I mean, nobody thought they were going to win 10 games, much less 14 if you count the two playoff wins, right? So, I think we were all like 7-10 would be a good start. You know what I mean? Like for a rebuild, 7-8-9, that'd be a pretty good start. You know, that'd be a pretty successful season. So what they did, they took two or three steps further than we all expected they would. And I think it's obviously Jaden's the biggest part of that for sure. No doubt about it, but it wasn't just Jaden. I just think these coaches, Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt, I mean, I think they just absolutely maxed out with the talent that they had. And part of that is due to them, and a large part of it is due to the players really all buying in, you know, because guys can – you can be cynical about brotherhood and all that sort of thing. You know, this is a business. You know, I don't – my brother doesn't get cut if he doesn't perform well. You know what I mean? Like, he's not cut from being my brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it's a little different, but it's, they had as close a proximity as you could have in terms of guys really kind of buying in and all kind of pulling in the same direction in terms of chemistry and teamwork and all that sort of thing. So for the talent that they had, and it's good talent. It's not bad talent, but it's not dominant talent.
Yeah.
The Eagles have dominant talent. We saw dominant talent on the other side of the football. You know what I mean? Saquon Barkley, dominant talent. You know, Carter, dominant talent. Offensive line, dominant talent. A.J. Brown, dominant talent. You know what I mean? The Commanders aren't there yet. They have good talent, but they maxed out. They completely maxed out. Jaden Daniels, dominant talent now. And that's the most important place to have a dominant player.
Dave, you said, we had you on earlier this year, you said if Jaden Daniels just makes some plays to make you have those moments where you go, okay, I see why we drafted him.
Yep.
He exceeded that. And now they got to put the right people around him. What position you think they need to work with most? I'm looking at offensive line, defensive line.
Yeah, me too, B. Mitch. I mean, I think, you know, it's no secret. You win championships on the offensive and defensive lines with dominant players, right?
Yeah.
Like, with players that make a difference, like, you know, that can flip a field with their play. I mean, the holes that Saquon had. Saquon's a great back, okay? He would do it anyway, but he had monster holes to go through all day. In fact, every running back on their team had monster holes to go through to run through. And Jalen had a lot of time. Most of the time, they got to him a couple of times, but for the most part, he had plenty of time to sit back there and pick the receiver he wanted to throw to. So it's no secret the Eagles have one of the best offensive lines in football and one of the best defensive lines in football, and they're going to the Super Bowl. Kansas City's got one of the best defensive lines in football, one of the best offensive lines in football. They're going to the Super Bowl. You know, so they need to fix the offensive line. They need to improve it. The guys they have are good. I think they have one really, really good player, and that's Biadasz. He was terrific this year. He was terrific at center. That was a great free agent signing. And I think Sam Cosmin, when he's healthy, is really good and is Pro Bowl level. So you've got, you know, but now he's recovering from an ACL, and then you don't know where he's going to be at the start of next season. So you have one, and when healthy, two, I think, really, really good offensive linemen. And I think you need to look at upgrading the others, right? Like, and doesn't mean Brandon Coleman can't start, but maybe he's a right tackle instead of a left tackle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe Allegretti is a great swing backup guard instead of the starting guard. You know, like, there's not saying cut them all, but I'm saying I think you have to upgrade, because when you have to constantly leave a back end to chip or constantly leave a tight end to chip to help your tackles, that's one less guy out in the pattern. That's one less guy for Jaden to throw to. And you want to maximize the ability for him to pick the open receiver and make the throw. He made plenty of them, so he can make all the throws. But I would, to me, offensive line and defensive line are the places you have to start.
Talking with our friend David Aldridge from The Athletic. You can give DA a follow at David Aldridge DC on X and Instagram. DA, I think they learned a lot about where they are going against Philly, who's just so big and strong and tough on both O-line and D-line.
Yeah.
But I also feel like we learned a lot that this team is now part of the playoff contenders. Like, going forward, I think expectations are just going to be so significantly different. And there's a lot of reasons, but Jaden's in the middle of it.
He's the reason, right? Like, right. We all understand where this is going. It's about the quarterback, right? And he showed you how he's a top 10 quarterback today, right? And whether you think he's top 8 or top 5, that's, you know, a matter of personal preference, but he's certainly the top 10.
Yep.
And when that's your starting point, that is a great point to start for a franchise. So now you have to build around him, like B. Mitch was saying. You have to put the pieces in place to help him supplement what he can do, because you know what he can do. And the other thing is, you don't want to expose him to have to run as much. You want that run to be a threat that you use occasionally, not all the time, right? Like, you know, so because, you know, you don't want him taking unnecessary hits. So the better you can surround him with an offensive line that can run block, where you can run the ball a little bit more effectively and can pass protect, so that you only need 5, maybe 6 guys to pass in pass pro, and you can send 4 or 5 guys out. Jaden's going to find the right guy. You know, like, he's going to make the right decision. So you have to help him out in that regard. But he's the guy. He's the show.
Oh, like, he's shown that.
he's the reason why you have hope, because he makes throws and makes plays that win your football games.
Totally. You said this a couple weeks back, and I don't know if it was in the room or the press box or something. I feel like it might have been on radio. I was listening to you talking with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long ago do the years of us trying to convince ourselves, listen, if Fitz just doesn't turn it over that much, and this defense is really good. You know what I mean? Like, the lies we told ourselves.
When you say if he doesn't turn it over that much, means he turns it over too much.
But yo, Carson Wentz gets back to his Philly days, or maybe this is the year for Heinicke, whatever. Like, it's been so long of this.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of healing and hope, while raising much-needed funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT, 888-843-6837.
Right.
Case Keenum, I mean, whatever. Like, I got lots of names.
Oh, sure. Like, we actually had discussions about that. Like, serious ones. Like, you know, Taylor Heinicke's got so much moxie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sam Howell's a tough kid. And he may, you know, he'll stand in there all day and wait for the guy to get open. You actually having conversations about these guys. Right. As franchise quarterbacks, right? Because you're so desperate for one.
Right.
And so now you've got one, and you don't have to have that discussion anymore. Like, at least not for the foreseeable future. Like, you've got the guy that you can build around. And if you build right around him, he can take you to the Super Bowl. That's what you have now.
Bro,
you have a guy like that in the room.
Like, even compared to rookies and all, like, my thing is, I haven't seen many veterans with his poise.
No, right. No, you're right. I mean, he's on – The way he kind of deals with the media, you know, it's not like I'm saying that's why he's a great quarterback, but you can tell that the unflappability whether it's a good question, which you like to think you everybody asks, or a dumb question, which occasionally does get asked, right? Like he handles them all the same. And so you can tell the guy kind of is not, like, he's not looking to score points or be funny or all those things. Like, he's just being a genuine he's trying to actually answer your question. You know what I mean? And you can sense that on the field too. Like, he kind of goes to the next play, no matter what happened on the last play. Like, even watching him, like, after the Hail Mary, like, he celebrated a little bit, but it's not like he was jumping up and down and diving in people's arms and getting on the pile at the end, you know, in the end zone. He had his little fist pump, and then he went and shook Caleb Williams' hand. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't tripping off of it, you know? So that's what you want. And those are the traits that Peyton Manning has. Those are the traits that Joe Montana has. Those are the traits that Tom Brady had. All the great quarterbacks that I've known in the last 15, 20 years are unflappable. That's their trait. Even Mahomes seems unflappable. Like, totally. he gets hurt. He gets dinged up. He limps to the huddle. He good for the next, let's go, next play. And I see a lot of that in Jaden already, and it's crazy. And he's a rookie. That's just crazy.
It's funny. I reference this quote a lot. When Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart was asked to describe his test for obscenity back in 1964, he responded, mm-hmm. "I know it when I see it." It's the same thing with a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you know when it's real versus what we've been trying to convince ourselves.
Yeah. Look, I say this all the time, and I mean it. I think offensive linemen are the truth tellers on every football team I've ever been around. I don't know why that is. But they're the ones that tell you the truth. Like, they'll tell you who's real and who's full of it, and they'll tell you. And I don't know if that's because they have to do so much. They have to know so much about the team and the offense, and they have to – and because they're bigger guys, their injuries are probably more painful, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is. But when veteran guys say, I will block for that guy all day and twice on Sunday, I will do anything for that guy. Because they know fakes and phonies behind center, right? And we've seen some of those in this town over the last 30 years, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and when they say, no, this is my quarterback. That's my dude right there. And they point to 5, that tells me all I need to know. You know, when Sam Cosmi said that, when he signed that extension, he was like, I came back here because of 5. Because I want to block for that guy. He's the real deal, you know? And he came back for the money. I know that. But what I'm saying is that he said, I believe in that guy. And he was a rookie then. Like, he hadn't even been on the field for real yet. You know, so that's what they saw in OTAs and they saw it in camp. And when that continued through the season, and Allen Gretty says it, and Wiley says it, and Biotis says it, you know, and Brandon Coleman says it, they all say it, independent of one another. That tells me all I need to know about how real Jaden Daniels is.
Totally. You know what's funny is I just had this, like, moment of clarity. I've said it a million times on the show, and I've said it to B, that the two position groups I always enjoy talking to the most are O-line and DBs. And O-line is because I think you get the most actual insight into football. And DBs is because they're just the most irrationally confident people on the planet.
right.
But, dude, I think I got that O-line. I think, like, in the way back of my brain, I feel like I remember – you and Tony talking about always talking to O-linemen in the locker room.
Always.
Back on, like, Tony's radio show when B would come on after him with John Thompson. Like, I think that is ingrained in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, always. I mean, back in the day, you talked to Jim Lachey. You talked to Bostic. You know, you talked to Rollo McKenzie. Like, those are the guys that know. When you want to know about a dude, you ask an O-lineman. They'll tell you. You know, they'll tell you what they say and what they don't say. You know what I mean?
Like,
you know, and so, you know, we all remember Jeff George getting sacked in Dallas and ain't no old lineman helping him up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, Robert, too.
That's all you needed to know.
I remember he sure getting punched in the face in practice and no lineman, they say, huddle up.
Right. And you saw it this year with Zach Ertz when he was mic'd up. And what was it, the Atlanta game, I think, when somebody took a shot at 5 and he's like, hey, you can't don't do that to my quarterback.
Right.
You know, those guys, no, that's for real. Like, they believe in that guy. Like, he's made them believe. And that's a powerful thing. Powerful thing.
And, dude, I think that stuff starts with the work ethic. It starts with him being there. You know what those linemen love? Seeing his car when they get there.
That's right.
And
that's right. That's Yep.
All that stuff makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's they know this guy's for real.
Yep.
Like he can't get to the checks and the things that he does and the sliding the protections and all the things he does on the offense, you know, in real time with the play clock running down, if he doesn't know that playbook.
There you go.
If he doesn't know exactly what to do. And he didn't get any – well, I'm sure he got some things wrong, but he didn't get many things wrong in that regard all season. And, again, that just shows you he's been in the playbook. He's taken this for real. He understands the O-line, what they need to do, and he gets them. They kept talking about it as they played, you know, in Detroit and in Tampa Bay, how they knew exactly what they were going to do, and they knew exactly what the check was. Because they had worked on it. And when Jaden gave him the call, it was the right call. So that's why they were able to execute in Ford Field in front of 80,000 people, cheer, you know, making that
loud
kind of noise. And they didn't have one false start penalty the whole game. Just think about that.
Yeah.
You know, in a playoff game, they have one false start, you know, because they knew what the hell they were doing. Because the quarterback put them in the right position every time.
Yeah, totally.
We kind of knew that when he checked off in the preseason game, threw the touchdown on the Deami. Deep ball down the field. Like, hey, don't do that yet.
right.
Like, hell, y'all made me learn it. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
DA, last thing from me, dude. I think they keep Cliff another year. Do you?
Yeah, I think so, right? I mean, the only job is the Saints. I just, no disrespect to the Saints, but I can't imagine you would leave this job for the Saints. Like, right now, they don't really have a quarterback, you know what I mean? Like, going forward, like, I mean, it's kind of a rebuild. Like, you know, like, I just can't see that being the job that you walk away from Jaden Daniels for. I mean, you got to remember, that's a powerful thing. He's working with Jaden Daniels now.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
So for him, like, I remember Tom Moore never left Peyton Manning, right? Like, Tom Moore stayed with Peyton Manning for 15 years in Indianapolis, right? He could have gone somewhere else.
That might have been the easiest job in the world right there, because Peyton called all the play for the last scrimmage.
Exactly.
You don't remember, like, so, Peyton's success was because of Adam Gase. That's why he got two jobs.
Nah.
Right.
That's what Adam Gase wants you to think.
right. So I'm not saying, look, I think Cliff's going to leave it inevitably for a head coach because he's a young man. He wants to be a head coach again. So, and I get that. That's fine. I just don't know that it'll be next year. I agree with you. I think he's probably there for another year, and that'll be great because they can build on this season and take the, you know, do some different things with the playbook. And as the personnel improves, and I think they will, and that's another reason for incredible optimism, because I think Adam Peters knows what the hell he's doing.
Right.
And they will pick. They will draft well. I do not think they will. I don't think we're going to have, what's the number, 10 out of 31 draft picks not be on this team in 2 years?
Right.
I'd be very surprised if that happened with this room. So they're going to pick the right people to make it better and easier for Jaden Daniels going forward.
DA, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
All right, Dave.
All right, guys. Thanks very much.
Take care, man.
David Aldridge from The Athletic. Give him a follow at David Aldridge DC.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.